We are back with the Tipsy Archives.
Hello.
I am Rachel Liggy.
I am Erin Redekop.
And we are still in Europe.
We are.
And today we're going to talk about Ljubljana, which is the capital of Slovenia.
Mm-hmm. I'd actually never heard of Ljubljana before I started planning this trip.
I was going to ask you about that because I know months ago when we started talking about where we wanted to go, mm-hmm. it was something that I brought up because I was there 9 years ago for lunch,
mm-hmm.
like on a stop between Croatia to the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember if you had said, oh yeah, I know that place or I want to go there. Or like, had you not heard of it at all?
I hadn't heard of it. I had had a number of people recommend Slovenia and tell me that we should go to Slovenia, that it was just gorgeous. And then you mentioned Ljubljana. And so I was like, yes, let's go there.
Yeah, and it just seemed like, especially after Paris and after Prague,
mm-hmm.
it was really nice because those places are really busy and there's a million things to do.
Yeah.
But Ljubljana is very laid back.
Very laid back. There's a lot of cafes along the river. We spent a lot of time in them or sitting on the banks of the river, and it was lovely.
So it was good that we were in a really chill city because basically the same day that we got there, you and I both got colds.
Yeah, we got pretty sick. We had some fevers and
we still have like, we're not sick anymore, but we still have the remnants of colds of like,
yeah,
sore throat and cough.
So you may hear us hacking like banshees at some point. We'll try to cut that out though.
Yes, I will try and cut that out. But yeah, so I mean, it was good because there isn't, you know, like a lot of, I mean, there are some museums and galleries and things, but they're pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
And I think visiting Ljubljana is more about the atmosphere and sort of like sitting at on a bar on the river and enjoying mm-hmm. a glass of wine and maybe going for a hike in a park.
Yeah.
Like it's just more of a relaxed kind of environment. So out of all the places we could have been sick, it was definitely probably the best.
Yeah, it worked out quite well for us. I don't feel like we missed out on anything because we were sick in Ljubljana, because we could still get up and we slept in most days, but then we would get up and go explore the city, and then we'd go back and have a nap, and then we'd go out and sit on.
Well, and by explore the city, more so just the old historical pretty area on the river.
Yeah, we never left that area at all. Yeah, so we got into Ljubljana on the 30th and immediately discovered that May 1st and 2nd is a two-day holiday for Labor Day.
Yeah, we got in late and checked into our Airbnb, and our hosts were like, oh yeah, grocery stores are not really open for the next 2 days.
And it turned out that was very true.
Yeah, I mean, we found like a couple like pharmacies that had like crackers and juice and like a little place on the river that we bought some croissants, and then like a stand we got strawberries from. So we managed to get a few things, and then like literally there's just restaurants everywhere, so we ate out a lot
and it was quite affordable. Slovenia is not an expensive country to visit.
Yeah, so what can we say about what else can we say about Ljubljana?
Other than it's beautiful.
It's very beautiful. It's got some lovely architecture, a lot of it due to it being rebuilt in the late 19th century after an earthquake.
Yeah, an earthquake kind of leveled it. I found that it was a really beautiful mix of Mediterranean and Eastern Europe. There was a lot of it that felt a bit like Italy.
Yeah, and it is really a blend of cultures because it is close. It's touching Italy, Croatia, Hungary, and Austria. And I might be missing something, but it's sort of at this intersection of various cultures. And there's the people there are very different. And like, they're definitely, it seems like, I do think there is a Slovenian like identity,
mm-hmm.
but people have lots of different backgrounds and mm-hmm. there's lots of different cuisines. And that way it's interesting. So, it's a former part of Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
So, it gained its independence in 91, I believe.
Yeah, 91. prior to that, it had been the Kingdom of Slovenes, Croats, and Serbs.
Before it was Yugoslavia.
Before it was Yugoslavia.
And before that, up until the very early 20th century, it was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah.
So it only has been Slovenia as a country for since 91. So, yeah. Like, it, the way it is right now is pretty young.
Yeah, it's still a very... I mean, like, it's an old place. The Slovenian language is a very old language. One of the things we learned while we were there is that for the longest time they weren't able to actually speak Slovenian because when it was part of Austro-Hungarian Empire, they had to speak German.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing under the circumstances that languages survive, but
yeah,
people, you know, out of the cities or whatever, like, obviously they're still speaking it.
Yeah.
It's just in an official capacity they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and, you know, we're not going to get, like, really in-depth about the whole history of the country, but,
yeah.
You know, the first, I think, remnants show it being a Roman town thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been, there's a lot of sort of incarnations of what the people of that region have been through under different empires and kingdoms. They even were under Napoleon for like 4 years.
Yeah, and apparently it was actually really positive for them, so they actually have a statue of Napoleon.
Yeah.
And it's like the only place outside of France that has statues of Napoleon.
Yeah, there's like almost like a traffic circle with like a column that has like a gold Napoleon face on it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they really like Napoleon.
Worked out for him.
Yeah.
So other cute things about Ljubljana. Slovenia is really into bees.
Yes.
And they have the highest percentage of beekeepers per capita.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, so they have, you know, lots of stands that you have honey and kind of bee-related keepsakes. And they used to do, they used to paint the sides of their beehives with kind of this folk art.
Yeah.
So you can buy replications of that. And I bought, I think we both, did we both buy the one where it's got like, they're like really like folky tail sort of pictures. So there's,
yeah,
like the, these devils are like sharpening a woman's tongue.
Yeah, you got that one.
And then there's the one where this guy is like bringing his wife to a devil to like put her through a machine and she comes out, or like a mill and she comes out a young woman.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
It's really weird. We both got that one.
Yeah, but I love it. I mean, like, I bought a little bit of folk art there, just like hand painted sort of floral designs on wood, and I love that stuff. And it was hard for me to not buy more, but I can't really pack a lot in my suitcase at this point.
Yeah, they're pretty full. Yeah, they are really into honey. They're like, even the medication that I got for my cough and cold, because mine got a bit worse than Rachel's, was honey. Like, it was honey and had some like pollen in it. And vitamins A and C.
Propolis.
Yeah, propolis. Yeah.
Something bee related.
Yeah, it was something totally bee related. Our tour guide was lovely enough to explain it to me.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that we did book, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we did do a craft beer tour.
Mm-hmm.
She was translating our cough medicine for us.
Yeah.
Because it had no English on it.
Yeah, we couldn't understand anything.
Yeah. But yeah. I found that really, like, most people there spoke English and were really friendly.
Oh, everybody was so friendly. It was one of the friendliest places I've ever been in my life. Our Airbnb hosts were wonderful, mm-hmm. and everybody we met in the stores were lovely, and people were always wanting to talk to us and find out where we were from, and it was really neat.
Yeah, it was super nice. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the symbol of Ljubljana?
Yeah, okay, so the symbol of Ljubljana is the dragon, and you can tell us actually what he stands for.
Oh, so there's, like, I guess in legend, one particular dragon, and you can kind of see him all over the city on things like the Dragon Bridge.
Yeah, and there's, like, there's apparently, like, giant statues. We didn't see that. He's on a ton of postcards.
The dragon is a symbol of, like, power and greatness and, you know, is now the symbol of Ljubljana. And we loved seeing little, like, like remember those on the river on the wall? There were those little like iron dragon sculptures, which we totally wish we could have found to buy somewhere because they were super cool.
I got something similar to it. That's in it's like a rock one, but it's not quite like that.
And people sell dragon stuffed animals too.
Yeah, they're adorable. So the dragon, there's a number of myths surrounding the dragon, but my particular favorite was that he lived in the marshes that surrounded the river in Ljubljana, which I believe is pronounced the Ljubljanica River. I may be wrong, though. And so he would eat otters and rats and fish and the farmers that lived in that area and worked in that area. Then this is where it gets very interesting, especially for me as a classical history major, is Jason and the Argonauts and Jason's wife Medea were coming down the river. They heard about the dragon, and so they decided to slay the dragon.
So is this like part of the sort of main story about Jason?
I don't know. I'd never heard it before.
Or it's more like a side story.
I think it's like a side story.
Yeah.
And maybe I had heard about it because I do know that there was a story about Jason slaying a dragon. But I don't think I'd put two and two together that it was the Ljubljana dragon. But yeah, so they essentially like suffocate the dragon with his own smoke and fire, and then he explodes, and it's Ljubljana's first fireworks.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny. Although, I mean, in that time, I don't know if it would have been called Ljubljana.
No, probably not.
but the area.
The area, yeah.
So, and then there's also, theories that the image of the dragon comes from stories of St. George and the dragon, because he is a patron saint of the castle or the chapel in the castle.
Yeah.
And just other sort of, you know, European dragon tales that all kind of come together to create folklore.
Yeah.
Another little funny dragon-related story is that, so Slovenia has all kinds of underground caves.
Mm-hmm.
And in these caves, there is this little almost eel-like creature called the... it's called an ulm, or like a Proteus anguinus or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is flesh-colored long salamander that can be like up to a foot or so with these little arms.
Yeah.
And it's like white or pink-colored. And they would call these the human fish.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stories about the human fish. I mean, you have to imagine medieval people in caves with flickering candlelight,
mm-hmm.
seeing these little things and thinking like, oh, that's so creepy. And one of the stories was that these are like baby dragons.
Yeah.
And these things can live for like 100 years.
Yeah.
And like they don't have to eat for over a decade. So they're really like just indigenous to this one area.
Yeah.
And they're super rare.
Yeah.
So that another one of their symbols is this weird human fish. And there's a beer company called the Human Fish.
Yeah.
And then we found like postcards that had these weird little human fish on them.
Yeah.
I was like on the lookout for more human fish related stuff because they just seemed creepy and weird.
They were very creepy and weird.
Yeah. I mean, like, we didn't see any human fish. Ish. But
the idea of them, and like we Googled them and they seemed very creepy and weird.
So yeah, another one of the weirds. We got like bees and fleshy salamanders and dragons.
Yeah.
And a beautiful river. We had, I think, because we had 3 whole days there.
Yeah.
And we had one day in the middle where we just let ourselves be pretty sick.
Yeah.
And, like, sleep a lot and watch a lot of iZombie.
Yeah. And then we, like, walked around and I think we hit up a lot of
gelato.
We ate gelato. We hit up a lot of jewelry stores because Ljubljana has a lot of really cute jewelry.
We did shop a lot there. That's true.
Yeah. I think Ljubljana was probably our biggest shopping place.
What else did I keep saying? I kept saying that it was, like, it was dragons, and then also I was like, I kept saying Slovenia is the like mecca of amazing sunglasses.
Oh yeah,
because we kept seeing like in stores they had all these amazing sunglasses, like awesome cool designs. Like I had to stop myself from buying multiple pairs of sunglasses, and then I would just see people walking around wearing amazing sunglasses.
Yeah, no, it had incredible sunglasses,
and just like it seemed really young and liberal. It's a university town.
Yeah.
There was a kind of like a lot of young, funky people there.
Yeah.
And it's got the tourism industry is starting to boom and the wine is really good. All the wine I had there was delicious.
Yeah. The wine was great. They had some wonderful white wines.
I wish if I went back, I would try to do a wine tasting there.
Yeah, me too.
But we did do the beer walk.
Mm-hmm.
But on the third day, we were like, okay, we're feeling a little bit better. We're going to go do a touristy thing.
Yeah.
And so we went up to Ljubljana Castle.
Yeah, we were trying to take the funicular up because we still weren't feeling that great because we still had our colds. And we took a wrong turn and we wound up hiking all the way up, which was a beautiful walk, though.
It was really nice.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. And there are a number of places that you could stop and look out over the city. It was gorgeous.
And it wasn't super far. I mean, the castle or the fortress, I guess, more it is.
Like, yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah. It probably took us 15 minutes to climb up to it.
Yeah, so we got a ticket to walk around the castle, and that sort of included a couple of the little museums in the castle, as well as going up on the fortress wall. And I'm trying to think of what else it would have included. I guess just the museums and access to different areas.
Yeah. Oh, and it allowed us to climb the tower. I don't know if you said that already. And so we just got like a stunning view from when we climbed up the tower.
Oh, yeah. That was really something.
You could you climbed up and you could just see forever, it seemed like. And
you could probably see like a good quarter or a third of the entire small country.
Yeah, they say that you can see a third of the country. That's what it says at the bottom of the tower before you climb it. And it was just a stunning view. We'll have to post some pictures of it.
So, I mean, this castle or fortress, it doesn't really have like prestigious stories about kings and queens so much as it was a fortress built to protect the town, to be a lookout against it, like things like invading Turks or other invading forces, because like we said, you can really see a long way. So it's more of a defensive fortress.
Yeah.
It also was used, you know, to house prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely got a little bit more of a rough and tumble history than like a glamorous one.
Yeah. It definitely didn't have any like epically interesting stories. It was just it was a beautiful castle.
So, and then the way that the castle is put together now with the museums and the cafes, I don't know how to say it other than like it's packaged really nicely.
Yeah, it's a very interactive setup.
Yeah, they've got this really, we sat at the cafe and had a couple glasses of wine.
Yeah.
But just like the infrastructure now of the tourism in the castle is really well done. It's really like clean and nice, and you know, there's audio guides, and one thing there's a puppet museum.
Yeah.
So that was kind of random.
And it was interactive, so we actually got to like play with some puppets and put on little puppet shows for each other.
Yeah. Oh, and then they also had the Museum of Slovenian History.
Yeah.
Which we thought was a really nice small museum.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, they don't have a lot of space to work with, and they're sort of, it's kind of really cool how they used the space within the ruins.
Yeah.
A lot of it is very interactive as far as it being like screens with actors doing sort of monologues about different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
They also use a lot of replications of actual historical artifacts that are either there behind glass or somewhere else that you are encouraged to touch.
Yeah.
So it'll be like the earliest wheel or, you know, like a soldier's helmet or
the bust or the face of Napoleon.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that's like, feel free to like touch this chainmail and see how. There are all these screens you could kind of scroll through and learn about the history.
Mm-hmm.
And where a lot of these interactive screens were, below them they would have lower screens for kids to play sort of like games related to the time period.
Yeah, and so like, because I'm short,
Aaron played the games.
I played the games a lot. there was one that was like, you were a frog, and there was a sleeping king in his castle, but like the spiders were coming in and you had to like eat all the spiders to protect the sleeping king.
Did you win?
I gave up by the end because I was just like, I'm so tired of eating spiders and lice. And
when do I win?
And I was like, I obviously just don't have the same attention span as a child.
But I was quite impressed with the setup of that museum sort of, like I said, given the space and the size of the town, and I think they did a really good job with being engaging. So, like I've mentioned before, recently I just took a class on museum studies. So
yeah,
going into museums and kind of seeing the way they set up and the way the access is and how interactive it is and things like that, like I'm kind of really picking up on some of that now.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of impressed with what they had done with that museum, and I thought it was really nice. And I would definitely recommend anybody who's in Ljubljana, go up to the castle. It's really great and really affordable and interesting.
Yeah, like I think it was $12 for us to do everything.
Yeah.
Like it was... Might have been 12 euros. I can't remember.
But, no. And the view is absolutely stunning. And we were up there on a really nice day.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spent some money in the gift shop.
Yeah. We both bought some stuff. That's where I got my dragon, like my little rock dragon. Yeah, no, it was great. And then what did we do after we went up to the castle?
Well, we went and we met our Airbnb host for a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it turned out that when I booked the suite, she... said she was an anthropologist living in Ljubljana, and I messaged her and I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I've been taking some anthropology courses and I'm, you know, interested in history. And I ended up messaging her that morning and saying like, hey, if you're around, like, do you want to have a glass of wine and like chat? And she was like, yeah, I'm super glad you asked. And I have a friend in town who I went to school with, and like, let's all go out and go to a coffee shop. And we kind of just chatted with them about, you know, what they were doing or what their interests were and what we were doing. I think Ljubljana, we had good luck with sort of meeting some locals and connecting with people that lived there, which was really nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then speaking of locals, we also met a lovely woman named Eva when we did the craft beer tour. And her company is called Ljubljana Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like Ljubljana Jam.
It looks like Ljubljana Jam.
But it's, yeah, she was wonderful. She took us on this craft beer walk. We went to three different places, and we tried six different beers.
It was all very local.
Yeah, very local. She would talk to us about, like, the style of the building and the history. It was great. We learned a lot about... craft beer in Ljubljana. And what really surprised me about craft beer in Ljubljana is I was expecting, because like Eastern beers are Eastern Europe has a lot of like lagers, and like Belgium's got these like really strong beers. But Ljubljana and Slovenia, just Slovenia in general, does a lot of IPAs and hoppy beers.
Yeah, and they had... Well, I feel like they really had quite a diverse selection.
Yeah.
And so we went to, like I said, a couple bars. The one in the middle was a friend of hers that had a beer shop.
Yeah.
But she opened for us on the holiday, and we, you know, got to chat with him for a while, and that was fun.
Yeah, he was super lovely.
Yeah, and then so we kind of did that with her, and then towards the end, I asked her, like... You know, you're super cool, and we've been having a lovely time with you. Like, do you want to come on the podcast and, like, talk about your business and talk about beer and food and your culture a little bit? And right away, she was like, yeah, totally, I'm in.
Yeah.
So we did an interview with her the next day.
Yeah.
In the middle of our colds.
Yeah.
She was like, are you okay? We're like, no, we're good.
We're good. We're gonna do this. Yeah.
So at the end of this episode, I will... attach the interview or the hangout session that Aaron and I had with Eva that'll kind of add to this. So that was a really cool thing that we got to do with her.
Yeah, I really enjoyed doing that. And
she
was so
visits
wonderful.
Vancouver semi-regularly. So, you know, maybe sometime she'll be in Vancouver and we'll hang out.
Yeah.
And also, like I said, I will attach the interview. We'll also be posting information for her business, too, on our... Twitter or Facebook, so that if anybody's ever interested, they can look her up.
Yeah, because she's just amazing.
So yeah, actually, there was two more things that I wanted to mention about. So the day that we got to Ljubljana, we were coming in on the train. We had been traveling all day. It was a very long train day.
Yeah,
And like on the last train, I was like, I smelled like this burning smell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, maybe they just turned like the heaters on in the train. And it's like when you haven't turned your heater on in a long time, it's got a weird smell.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first thought. I was like, oh, maybe it's just the heater on the train. But then it was like got stronger and stronger. And like I looked out the windows and I'm noticing like there's these like raging bonfires.
Yeah.
And that was part of the holiday, that it was like a pre-Labor Day, people light these big bonfires.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, too, because in Prague, they had been having like a witch's night thing that I read, like, also has a little carryover. I mean, I think it's mostly a Labor Day thing that was happening in Slovenia, but
yeah,
there might also be a little bit of carryover to the witch's day thing.
We were really hoping to get to go to witch's night.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was just kind of like... It's, like, dark, and I can't really see anything, and I'm just like, oh, there's bonfires around us.
What's going on?
This is weird.
Yeah.
And also, I'm starting to get stuff to happen. I think I'm sick.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to mention how on our, was it our last day, that we were like, we're still sick. We need to get some, like, traditional Slovenian soup.
Oh, yeah.
So we were like, we need to find, like, a restaurant that, like, to have, like, a good dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the second day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the last day we had pizza.
Yeah.
But the second day, we're like, we need to get some. So I looked up, like, kind of walked around and, like, tried to find, like, a traditional kind of place. And we went to this one place that was really cute and felt very Eastern European sort of wooden bars and, like, fun folky music. And we had this... beef broth soup that was delicious.
Oh my god, it was so good.
It was basically exactly what we wanted.
Yeah, we were so happy.
And then we had the fried zucchini with cheese and some Slovenian wine and so that was good. We had kind of our authentic restaurant experience. All the waiters seemed really cranky about having to wear sort of like traditional clothing.
Yeah.
Or something.
It was the only place that we went to in Slovenia where people actually seemed kind of cranky.
Yeah. I mean, and they were totally like nice to us. They just didn't really seem to love their jobs.
Yeah.
But the soup was great. And I think it helped us get better.
Yeah.
And then we probably went and like laid down again for a few hours.
Yeah. I think we did that. And then we went back out again.
Yeah.
So and got gelato.
We did have gelato a few times, and that also helped. And the honey syrup and the soup.
Oh, they also had really good Radlers.
They do.
Yeah.
We got very into Radlers in Ljubljana.
Yeah.
It sounds like we were drinking a lot when we were sick, but we really weren't.
No, we actually really toned it down.
We really toned it down a lot.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
On this trip. But, you know, I mean, like, Radlers are pretty light.
Yeah, they were like 3.4% or something like that.
But apparently that's like in the craft beer scene there, that's becoming a big thing.
Yeah.
And we got to try one of their first local sort of sours.
It wasn't very sour, but it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was more, it had way more of a strong beer taste in a sour than I'm used to.
Yeah, it was very weedy.
Yeah, but it was good. We went back and we bought one from the store we had gone to and because I love sours. So,
yeah, and I love sours. Mm-hmm.
That's, like, one of the ways that our beer interests overlap.
Yeah.
Because you like darker beers.
Yeah.
And I like lighter, summery, citrusy, like, Hefeweizens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And sours and lambic. So, yeah, I mean, I think that kind of wraps up our days in Ljubljana, which is lovely. And I would recommend, if you're looking for a nice place in Europe to, like, relax and enjoy some beauty and enjoy some drinks and various kinds of cuisine and friendly people,
yeah,
go there.
And it's not that over, like, it's not overly touristy yet, really affordable. I've never been to Croatia, but it's apparently a lot less touristy than Croatia.
I liked it more than Croatia, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a lot greener than Croatia.
Yeah it's just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys enjoy the interview with Eva that we do at the end of this. We certainly enjoyed recording it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll be back next time when we kind of cover Budapest.
Yeah.
So, cheers.
Cheers. Nosh, what is it?
Oh, yeah. Eva taught us this cheers, which we do talk about in the interview.
Yeah.
That's
Nice driveway.
Nice driveway.
Yeah.
Which is not, that's how we remember it.
Right.
And now we're cheersing nice way driveway, but it's... Nastravia?
Yeah.
Nastravia. So, nice driveway.
Nice driveway.
Okay,
so I think I'm going to get you to probably pronounce your name for us and introduce yourself.
My name is Iva Gruden. That's I-V-A-G-R-U-D-E-N. And I am a former journalist turned into businesswoman running food walks in my hometown of Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Yeah, so Erin and I, we got here, or we started planning this trip a couple months ago, and I, of course, always look up, you know, what are the 10 fun things to do in a city, and your site came up a couple times, a few times, and one thing that was cool is that I emailed you to book a craft beer tour, which ended up just being the three of us, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And I, you know, emailed you to set that up, and you were in Vancouver when you got my email.
That's not even so unusual. I've been coming to Vancouver in the last 15 years, I think. Yeah, that's true. The first time I was there was 2002. So, yeah, even though I was on sort of holiday, of course, this is my business, so I'm never really on holiday. So that's why I was more than happy to answer your inquiry basically from your town as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do anything related to food in Ljubljana and experiences. So craft beer for sure is also on the agenda because craft beer in Slovenia, pretty much ever since I started, which is almost 4 years ago, has been really on the rise. And that makes me really happy.
Yeah, so right now we're drinking not a necessarily craft beer. We're drinking a Slovenian beer, though. It's the Union Grapefruit Radler.
Why not?
Yeah.
Union is still the biggest commercial brewery, at least in Ljubljana, and it's more, it's the most, let's say, sold beer along with Laško, so the other companion, and it's both owned by Heineken. And Radler is a perfect drink for this intro into the summer that is ahead of us.
Yeah, we love Radlers in Vancouver as well.
Yeah. Not all the different types of flavors. We pretty much just have the grapefruit.
Yeah, that's definitely the most popular one there.
I don't know. They started, you know, just with the regular one, like, which is usually more lemonade kind of flavored, so to say. And then...
A shandy.
Yeah, exactly. And then they introduced this grapefruit one. I can't remember when. It was a couple of years ago, maybe like two or three, something like that. And then, or even maybe before, I can't pin it down. But it's become really, really popular. And now I think you can even get this one more often than the actual, let's say, original, so to say, lemonade. Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen this one.
This for me?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, cheers. We poured you a glass as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you go from being a journalist to, you know, being a foodie and doing beer walks and food walks?
I guess, you know, just like with a journalist, it's not just a profession. People like to say it's a way of life. So basically being interested in food is not just something that you decide to do kind of like, oh, I don't have anything else to do. I'm just going to be a foodie. But basically it's kind of like a continuation of what I did before. Mm-hmm. So having been a journalist for, let's say, 10 years, more or less, with a degree in it, and obviously working as a journalist, I got in contact with a lot of people because, you know, Slovenia is a small country and Ljubljana is a small town. So it's really easy to kind of get to know people in a certain field because there's not that many people anyway. Mm-hmm. So connections for sure were something that led me on to thinking about having my own business. And then as a journalist, I was mostly covering two things. So one was sustainable development or just social responsibility and so on and so. And then at the same time, also food. So clearly these two topics sometimes overlap because, you know, sustainable development pretty much touches upon every aspect of your life, so to say.
Yeah.
And maybe I have some sort of background from the food, sort of professional. My grandpa was a butcher. My grandma was selling vegetables at Ljubljana Farmers Market. But we've always been a very food savvy family, I should say. Mm-hmm. So we're always, you know, trying out recipes and cooking at home. And I remember I still have my first cookbook at home. So when I was probably like six or something, I don't know. So basically my interest in food was always there. And I pretty much have to say, you know, thanks also to Vancouver, because as you know, Vancouver is a really foodie city. So, you know, if you live there, you kind of, it's kind of contagious almost, right? Also become a little bit of a food snob.
Well, and Vancouver, like Slovenia, has all these different cultures sort of merging within it because of all the different, you know, people that live there. And that's one of the interesting things about Slovenian food and culture is that it's this kind of, you guys are at this intersection of, you know, Austria, Hungary, Italy, and it gives you, I think, a unique identity that's sort of a, would you say, like a mishmash?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in comparison with Vancouver, there's actually like a lot of minorities, so to say, that live there. Mm-hmm. Whereas in comparison with Slovenia, pretty much everybody here is considered Slovenian. We just mm-hmm. do have historically different influences that are still, all of them would be European. So in comparison with Vancouver, Vancouver's got like a really awesome, I don't know, Chinese and Japanese and Korean and Indian and German and Polish. So it's like from all parts of the world. Whereas here it's just, you know, regional. And yes, as you say, this region is very, very interesting. So I kind of feel lucky that I'm able to show that through my food walks, because it's not just about our food, it's also about our culture. So some people in Slovenia would be more like Germans, and some people would be more like Italians, and some people would be more like Balkan people, so maybe like Serbia and Bosnia and so. So I do like this mix. And yeah, when it comes to food, maybe Ljubljana is a little bit more specific because it is the biggest city in the country and it is the most, let's say, open-minded and liberal when it comes to food experimentation. And it's also the most, the highest or the biggest critical mass that you have here. So we can afford to experiment also a little bit with our cuisine. So elsewhere where you go, maybe a little bit more countryside, we're still sticking more to our traditions. So depending in what region you're located, that would be the tradition.
Cool. Well, I noticed on the trip you took, or the tour you took us on yesterday, that you were able to blend a lot of sort of history of Slovenia in with the different places that we were going. So did that require a lot of like history research for you, or is that something that you just like learned through school? And
That's because you guys are all history buffs. No, I mean, I try not to overwhelm my guests in my food walks with like, I don't know, just dry historical facts.
So we got a bit more maybe than the average person.
I don't know if you got a little bit more, but you know, I'm always more than happy to tailor my food walks to what people are interested in. You know, some people will be more interested in sports and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. so I can talk more about that. Definitely I am not savvy in everything. I do not know all the important years and dates and names and all that.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, sure, we do get, you know, history throughout our elementary and high school and so on and so, but I have to be honest, I wasn't really particularly interested in history at that time because, you know, when you're 16, 17, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
I think it's more about now discovering that history is fascinating because you only know what you know. Like, for example, up until a couple of years ago, it was supposed to be true that Ljubljana was first mentioned in 1141. Right. So that was like the beginning of the city, so to say. But then, you know, they discovered just random document where Ljubljana has already been mentioned in 1114. So that changes a little bit. And to me, that's kind of fascinating when it comes to history because it's really not definite. I don't know how to say.
And, oh, definitely. I mean, that's, yeah. I study a lot of history, and I think when you kind of become a history or an art history student, that's one thing they teach you is that what you're learning isn't like this solid thing.
Exactly.
It's this sort of ever-changing, shifting thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially here in Slovenia, where in the last 100 years, so, or we can just say 20th and 21st century, I mean, we have been through so many changes and so many winners that just, you know, write history, and so to say. Mm-hmm. So beginning of 20th century was still Austro-Hungarian Empire. Then it was First World War and was a big mess up. Then it was shortly after let's call it a coalition between Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes. It was a kingdom, so we even had like another king. And then it was the Second World War, so again a big mess. First Italians, then Germans, and so on. So then it was Yugoslavia, and then it was independent Slovenia, and then European Union, and so on. So we changed so many different kind of views of what's true and what's not. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
that's a lot in about 150 years.
I know, that's what probably makes my interest in Europe bigger than it was when I was just going to high school, because mm-hmm. you know, then
you've actually seen changes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially if I talk about, let's say, Ljubljana and its cuisine, because I really like to talk about Ljubljana more specifically than just Slovenia in general, because you know, this is my turf. But in recent years, when let's say the closure of city center for traffic, so making it more adaptable, how to say, for pedestrians and cyclists. And so definitely that opened up a lot of new foodie businesses as well. So like a lot of street food events and a lot of patios. And there's just a lot of experimenting now with reinterpretation of our cuisine. So people are getting a little bit more bold about putting something on a market. That's something you would not see maybe even, you know, 10 years ago. At the same time, obviously, that's also because tourism is picking up in numbers for sure. So you guys coming here, you have different views, you have different flavors, you have different desires. So we kind of have the opportunity now to listen to more of the world that's coming now here and see how we can not serve you as like servants or whatever, but just to see what we can do with our food to make it also interesting for you. And I see myself as somebody that just because I come from such a small country, the need to let everybody know what we are is even greater. Because I don't know, if you're France or if you're Germany, if you're some other bigger country, you don't have to work that hard. Everybody knows where you are.
Yeah.
And that directly links to, I don't know if you've seen it, but on Netflix series Chef's Table, there is our chef Anna Roche from Hisha Franco Portrait, and she says exactly the same thing. So I kind of took her words from her, but it was what I felt anyway all the time. Is like, if you're from such a small country, you have to try at least a couple of times harder to make people understand where you're from.
Yeah, all the sort of travel sites or blogs I saw were very much like, you know, Ljubljana, the nicest town to go to that you've never heard of.
I guess it's also because, sorry, people have usually like no expectations, which is linked to usually no knowledge about it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, like, I don't blame people not knowing about it. I mean, I don't know about every single city in this world as well. And but, you know, it's interesting because they have no idea about Ljubljana. They expect nothing. And then at the same time, they're so pleasantly surprised. And that's always nice to hear.
Well, I think people who love to travel to Europe are often looking for an option that's not as expensive or crazy busy as places like London or Paris or, you know, the bigger cities in Europe, even Prague, where we just were, which was like, you know, not too bad price-wise, but really packed full of people.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Ljubljana. I mean, of course, there are some concerns from local community about this increasing tourism. But, I mean, I'm not a fortune teller, so I can't say how it's going to look like in a couple of years or whatever. Mm-hmm. But compared to all these places, I always like to say that Ljubljana is, it's really not your typical capital. It only has, 300,000 people. And when we do take off, like, for example, now it's the May 1st weekend and there's no locals in town at all. Everybody is elsewhere. And so you kind of have locals out, tourists in, that kind of thing. As I said, we'll see what happens in a couple of years. But I don't know. I keep my fingers crossed that Ljubljana will maintain a healthy, let's say, figure of tourists coming here. We'll see what that happens. But definitely tourism has, we've gained a lot of it. I mean, it's not just me personally with my business and all that, but it's also just, I think that the quality has risen, so to say, when it comes to this food sector, because, you know, there's TripAdvisor, there's a lot of public reviews you can now post, and there's so much more people who can give an opinion on a business, and, you know, you don't want to be bad. So I think for now, it's still okay.
Well, and it seems like everybody's really positive towards tourism, or mostly positive, because everywhere we've gone, people are really happy to meet us. They want to talk to us. They want to know where we're from and what we're thinking of Ljubljana.
Yeah, because it's still kind of a novelty for us to some extent, you know? I mean, before we were used to getting tourists like Italians or Germans, you know? But now they're coming from all over the world, like you guys or Americans or Australians or, you know, there's lots of Asians now. So for us, that's still a little bit of a phenomenon. Like, why would you go to Ljubljana if you can go to, I don't know, Venice or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, definitely if you talk to some people that maybe are not directly involved in tourism like I am, I'm sure they will give you some more of the negative. Like, some people might complain that, you know, it's become way too touristy and the prices have gone up and all that. But I don't know. I mean, there's always a choice for you to go to another bar if you don't like it there. And, you know, soon it will be maybe segregated a little bit. Okay, this area between the Three Bridges and Shoemaker's Bridge is a little bit more touristy, whereas a block away is not. So far, when I've been doing my food walks, basically all we do is maybe just go to a place that I like, and it's maybe a block away from the main river area, and it's still as it should be, or so to say.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, to me, you can't expect a change to bring just only positive effects. So definitely there is maybe some downsides to tourism. But as I said, for me, generally, I think the positive outnumber the negative.
Well, I think one thing that Ljubljana definitely has going for it is the ambiance, the just sort of like the laid back atmosphere. I mean, like we kind of came here after going to bigger cities, like not thinking like we have to hit five museums. More like we're going to enjoy the cafe culture.
Exactly.
Sitting on a patio, drinking a good wine or a beer, and just sort of taking some time to relax and enjoy the scenery because it's quite beautiful here.
Exactly. Yeah. Much has been done into renovation of this city center for sure. So it's been really glossy and so and so. So for sure, that's what a lot of people remark. It's not so much about must see, as you say here in Ljubljana, but it's just like more must do. It's kind of like just enjoy the vibe. And it's the vibe that people generally put forward as the best thing about Ljubljana. Because, and even for me, I mean, I really like living here. It's a great city to live. It offers a really high quality of life, and everything is pretty much obtainable in a very short time and short distance. So, maybe historically, as I probably told you, Ljubljana was never a big city. It was never a big capital. I mean, when we were part of the Habsburg Empire, the capital was Vienna, and then afterward, Vienna and Budapest. So we don't really have any great avenues or big buildings or even the castle. I mean, you can't spend generally not like the whole day as you do in a Prague castle or something like that, because Prague castle is huge.
Yeah.
Ours is not. Everything is minuscule, and it's more about like just enjoying Ljubljana, especially on a sunny day. Our coffee culture is really cool. We love to sit down and just enjoy coffee and chat over a coffee. We take lunch very seriously. So on a working day, there's everybody will be out for lunch who has a business here downtown. So, I guess, yeah, that's what makes it a little bit more charming. Because there's no, like, ooh, as you said, I gotta go see the Eiffel Tower or Louvre or Rome Colosseum or something like that. Of course, there are tourist attractions, but they're not, I don't know, monumental. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's monumental and what lingers around with you is just, I guess, this feeling.
Yeah. So how your business... can you pronounce that for me?
Yeah, okay, sorry about that. Ljubljana Njam. So yum. Ljubljana as Ljubljana, mm-hmm. and Njam as Yum. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a play on word.
I mean, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should rename it. I don't know, but you know, you guys came to me despite my name. So
if you're gonna go as far as to figure out how to pronounce Ljubljana, I think you can go further just to say.
Yeah, I know people say Ljubljana and jam, and I'm fine with that because we're kind of like jamming around Ljubljana. But no, basically it comes from this cartoon that we all used to watch when as kids, and it was called Banana Njam. So basically, it was about this Eric guy who eats a banana and becomes like a Superman, and then
that's awesome.
I mean. It's probably one of those, you know, very local things, but I figured like, ooh, Ljubljana Njam kind of rhymes with banana njam. Sorry. And so I thought, you know, when you go on a food walk with me, then you eat all this food and you become like a Superman of Ljubljana cuisine, or maybe I should say super person, not to insult anybody with the gender or something. So, no, I'm kidding. So that's how it's spelled. Ljubljana Njam.
Ljubljana Njam.
That's good.
Cool. I had something else I was going to say.
No problem. I'll just drink.
Yeah. Sometimes I just cut sentences out.
Well, I had a funny anecdote, actually. I posted on Twitter that we had gone on your tour.
Oh, really?
And immediately a friend of mine was like, was it? And she did. She called it Ljubljana Jam. But it was quite funny. And she's had done your tour last year.
That's awesome. Why didn't you get that? Like, you should tag me on Twitter or something.
Yeah, no, I will whatever. Take you on.
There's a lot of J's in my name, you know. Sorry about that. But then, you know, I figured I don't know. As I said, when I set my business, clearly I wasn't thinking clearly, and I didn't know it was gonna fly, I guess, so well. So I thought, ooh, Ljubljana Nav is a pretty cool thing because everybody will know me by that name, and people do know me by that name here, obviously, because I do like to work with Slovenians as well. Though we are a little bit of a specific market, obviously, because it's a home market, and you know, so
you're working with the business owners and the craft beer makers.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But you know, whatever. We'll see if I need to rename my business, then I will. So far, so good.
Yeah,
I'm playing with the thought. We'll see what happens.
So, of course, if people come here, they should try out your food tour or your wine or your beer tours. But without kind of giving any of your secrets away, if you're somebody that's coming to the city or the like, what would you say if you're going to be here for a day or two and there's something that you should eat?
Oh, I mean, first of all, it's not like really my secrets or something, but you know, it's just maybe I'm overcautious because this is like my baby, and I'll be like, oh, I don't want people copying my business. But then again, you know, I think it's just a little bit my own paranoia or something. So no worries. I will always know more about the food scene here than anybody foreign that comes here. So I can say that probably, but it's all good. Things to eat. I don't know. I mean, I really like people who have a good time. So if you're a vegetarian, I'm not going to say, ooh, you should eat the sausage, you know, but, I would say, a couple of things to eat. So here's the thing. Coming to the city center of Ljubljana, the food scene is going to be different than it is on the edges in other districts of Ljubljana. So I would say that really don't expect super traditional, because that's a little bit now more on the edges. But if you're in downtown Ljubljana, I don't know. Depends on the season, but now it's springtime turning into summer. So I would definitely say that do indulge in some of the gelatos that we have here. So we've been eating ice cream since like forever, but in recent years, so that's all along with this step up in quality on so many levels, like for example, coffee or craft beer or wine or whatever. It's also gelato. So we came from ice cream to gelato. So I would say that one's really good. When it comes to traditional desserts, I personally really like our so-called traditional Ljubljana crepes. They are filled with cottage cheese. So first you make the crepes, and then you fill them like a tortilla or something like that, and then you roll them, and the filling is cottage cheese and tarragon. And then you make them all gratin, something like that, in the oven. Mm-hmm. You can also add some raisins if you want. But this gives you a little bit of this idea that we like to make things on our own a little bit. So, for example, tarragon in desserts, it's something that we like a lot. But a lot of foreigners would be like, wow, that's kind of funny.
It's interesting.
I know, but it works out. You should try it in your cheesecake or something.
Yeah.
It works out.
I've heard that soups can be a big thing here.
Soups are definitely a big thing. So
I had a really delicious lentil kind of carrot one earlier today.
Any kind of soup works. So we're definitely a soup city. So the traditional one would be like a beef soup with frittati or just any kind of small pasta or some dumplings, depends. And if you're a vegetarian, mushroom soup for sure would be like a go-to. Especially sometimes you can get it like in a bowl made out of bread.
I love that.
So that's a meal already there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty serious about our bread and portions. So,
well, I feel like we should probably wrap this up because I know you have a tour to do.
I do. I apologize. You know, I'm supposed to meet some people in just over 5 minutes. So
yeah, we should definitely let you go.
That's okay. No problem
at
all.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. No,
to
I mean, I think I should thank you, you know. So thanks.
Yeah, we'll definitely post. We'll get your info from you. We need to post any of your links for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so if you could give us another Slovenian cheers here. We'll end
Na zdravje. So nice driveway. Na zdravje. Oh, and you have to look people in the eye. Like, I see Canadians and do that. I'd be like, you have to look people in the eye and cheer. And no crossing, okay, because that's bad luck.
Oh.
Cheers. Na zdravje.
Na zdravje.